Small crew today.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the commission's regular meeting of February 14th, 2024. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda, currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening by the meeting by telephone, I'll take a roll call so that we can record, so the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please state that you are present. Commissioner Barry, Commissioner Einhorn.
Here.
Mr. Farish.
Here.
Commissioner Fuzeschi.
Here.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Here.
Mr. Ganslin. Mr. Hankins.
Here.
Mr. Streeter.
Here.
And myself, Owen Egan. Here. Similarly, when the commission conducts the vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission regular meeting of January 24th, 2024. Do I hear a motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of January 24th, 2024.
Commissioner Einhorn, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll conduct a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeschi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. So the first one is docket number FIC 2023-0071, Andre Sosa versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Hold on a second. Two people were talking. In the audience, please.
Yes. Paige Yelena Bricklin Goldstein for the state.
Paige Yelena?
Paige Yelena Bricklin Goldstein. This is Attorney General. Sure.
Okay. Got it. And then is Mr. Sosa there?
Yes.
All right. Would you like us to mark that ready, sir?
Yes, sir. Ready. And I would like to the matter to be recorded.
Yeah, everything's being recorded today, sir. So we'll mark that ready, and we'll get back to you. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0067, Mark Sevitz versus First Selectman, Board of Selectmen, Town of Heartland, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Phil Leonte, Town Attorney.
Do you wish to be heard?
Yes, sir.
And could you spell your last name, counsel?
It's V as in Victor, E, G, L-I-A-N-T-E.
Thank you.
And I'm joined by First Selectman.
Spell her last name, please.
W-I-N-S-L-O-W.
Is Mark Sevitz here? Okay. Thank you. I'll mark that ready. Next is...
Chairman, sorry to interrupt, but I think we lost Commissioner Goldstein. We may need to... get her back on there.
Okay.
Commissioner Goldsby, are you there?
We'll take a brief break for a second. Oh, you have to do it physically here?
Sorry. Okay, I'm going to add Commissioner Goldsby back on, okay? One moment.
You have reached an unassigned extension at the State of Connecticut.
Hello.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to add you back. Okay, do I have everybody? Mr. Sosa?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
And Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes. Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem. You're welcome.
Good job. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So the next matter, I know we have an amendment on, it's docket number FIC 2023-0116, Thomas Banyas versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Administrative Services et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? We'd entertain the amendment, and then maybe we can vote on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the record, Kevin Munn, I was the hearing officer in this matter. I think we sent in an amendment to the commissioners and the parties yesterday, so I can read that into the record if you'd like.
Sure.
So the amendment would be after the first introductory paragraph, delete all paragraphs, all the remaining paragraphs in the proposed final decision, and replace it with the following. By email received on February 7, 2024, the complainant withdrew his complaint. The commission takes administrative notice of such withdrawal. The following order by the commission is hereby recommended on the basis of the record concerning the above captioned complaint. So based on the withdrawal of the complaint, the case is hereby dismissed.
So I think we motion on the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, I move that we amend the hearing officer's report in the way that was just described by the hearing officer.
Second, Commissioner Einhorn.
Is there discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. We're joined by Commissioner Gansworth. Welcome. Happy Valentine's Day. So we're voting on an amendment on the Banas matter, and the amendment is to withdraw. This is the roll call of those in favor of the amendment. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. The amendment passes unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, if there's nothing further, I move adoption of the amended hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Einhorn, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, now that Commissioner Ganswin is here, we did do a vote on the minutes. I don't know if she wants to add her vote to that. They were approved unanimously.
We voted to approve the minutes. Do you want to?
Yes.
Yes, we vote to approve.
Great.
Thank you. All right. We also have now docket number FIC 2023-0126, Daniel Costa versus O'Donovan Murphy, Director of Judicial Marshal Services et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? I'm sorry, sir. You might have to repeat your name.
First name is Andre, A-N-D-R-E-I.
Yes.
Last name is Tarleton, T as in Thomas, A-R-U. T as in Thomas again, I-N as in name.
And your counsel for?
Judicial Ranch, Marshal Services.
Okay. Is Daniel Fakoska there, please? Counsel, do you wish to be heard on this matter?
Only if the commission so desires.
I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, seeing that there's no objection, the respondent and the complainant's not here, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Einhorn, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. All right. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0198, Hector Rivera versus Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? All right, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this was a dismissal. Seeing neither parties here, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report. Thank you, Commissioner Streeter.
Commissioner Einhorn, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fisashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Gansman?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Last is docket number FIC 2023-0202, Terry Stringer versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut Department of Insurance. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Terry Stringer.
Would you like to be heard, Mr.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Donnie Gaparelli, C-A-P-R-A-L-E, from the Insurance Department.
Is it Donald?
Tommy.
Tommy, I'm sorry, Tommy?
Sorry, Tommy, T-O-N-Y.
Tony, I'm sorry. And the last name?
My answer, Gaparelli, C-A-P-R-A-L-E.
Thank you. All right, we'll mark that ready. We'll take them up in the order they're called. All right. So before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
As indicated by the chairman, these proceedings are being recorded in their entirety. There is no need to request a recording, and we will make those available on our website soon after the meeting. If anyone has trouble accessing that, please let us know. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
All right. So the first matter is docket number FIC 2023-0071, Andre Sosa versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health, et al.
Okay, so
one second, Mr. Sosa. So, Mr. Sosa, just state your name for the record, please.
My name for the record is Andre Sosa, email number 26.
Thank you.
0589.
Thank you. And counsel, please state your name.
Good afternoon. Alina Bricklin Goldson, Assistant Attorney General for the State Department of Public Health.
Thank you, counsel. All right. So, Mr. Sosa, would you like to begin, please?
First, I'd like to, for the record, say if I had any issue getting any document from the internet. Yes, I do. I don't have access to the internet. I am incarcerated. Second, we already adjudicated this hearing on October 30, 2023, at 9:30 a.m. So I don't even know why we have another hearing today.
So the commission as a whole gets together, and then they will either approve or not approve of the hearing officer's recommended decision. So that's what's happening today. Do you object to this decision, sir?
Well, I haven't got a copy of the decision into recently, so I haven't had time to go over. I am just satisfied with the findings and the testimony of the respondent during the hearing on October 30, 2023, at 9:30 a.m. The founding was that there was no record filed in regard to the nurse credentials that were in question, Ms. Jenny Bregner. There was no record for her as a RM, and I'm satisfied with the finding. And one more thing for the record, who did testify was the office supervisor Renee, R-E-M-E-E, Olora, H-O-L-O-T-A, office supervisor, and Stephen Carter, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, C-A-R-R-A-G-H-E-R, Public Health Service Manager. They testify with the representation of Assistant Attorney General Alina Bricklin Goldstein from the Attorney General Office in regard to this matter, that there was no record or documentation on the record for this nurse to be filed.
So, sir, you're satisfied with the decision as it stands?
Well, they said there's no record. I cannot go for anything else.
Okay. Thank you. Counsel, do you wish to say anything?
Just that I'd recommend the commission approve the decision.
Okay. So she recommended that the commission approve the decision as well. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Einhorn, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Council. Thank you, Mr. Sosa.
And one more thing. I request a copy of these recordings on the record.
You'll have to do that after.
Yeah, I think you'll have to do that after the meeting. Just
I got it right, you guys. No. But anyway, I always put it on the record that I did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Sosa. Thank you. Have a good day.
Have a You do it. Have a Valentine's Day to everybody.
Thank you. Okay. Next is docket number 2023-0067, Mark Sevis versus First Selectman, Board of Selectmen, Town of Heartland, et al. Thank you. Is Mark Sevis here? Okay. Council, will you identify yourself, please, and your witness, please, for the record?
Nick Valiante, Coneburn, Bauman, Shea, town attorney for the town of Heartland, and with me today is First Selectman Maggie Winslow.
Thank you. Would you like to begin?
Certainly, just briefly. In general, you know, I think that the hearing officer did a very good job laying out all the relevant facts, and I really do appreciate the hard work that went into that. We really don't take much issue on much of it. The only thing I would like to just point out is the finding that the town's response was not prompt. We do take a very slight issue with that. Given the circumstances, we think in support of finding that the town's reply was prompt. First, there was absolutely no urgency on behalf of the requester. In fact, to this day, the requester, despite the documents and information being available, the hearing officer noted that the requester still hadn't actually bothered looking at the documents, and I can tell you all these months later, he still hasn't done that, despite the hearing officer and her proposed decision, you know, recommending that he do so. And it's also important to note that the town was sort of working in good faith and trying to thread a needle through several different issues. They were concerned about their employees and the privacy of their information. And they were concerned about being tagged with a complaint for holding a Board of Selectmen meeting, you know, without public notice, et cetera. So, but other than that, again, I do want to thank the hearing officer for taking the time to set forth such a, you know, a detailed a decision. And other than the one issue that I discussed, that is that I think the circumstances can support a finding of promptness. Other than that, we have no issue with it, and we would recommend that it be adopted.
Hearing officer, Mary Kay.
Good afternoon, Chairman. My name is Mary Kay Smith, and I was the hearing officer in this matter. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Do you have a specific question?
Would you address Attorney Valiantes?
Yes. So the main issue, you know, I thought about this, and I heard their argument that they believe they needed to have. So in the town of Heartland, I believe at the time there were three selectmen, so that and two selectmen would make a constitute a quorum, and so they were concerned that if two select persons met and talked about the request, it could be considered a meeting, so they thought they should have a public meeting. However, if you look at the, and I laid it out in detail, if you look at the correspondence, there was time taken and they needed time. It's a very small staff there, I understand that. But the records were ready and available as of March 6, 2023. But the special meeting where the records were actually disclosed was March 29th, 2023. There was really no, at the point that they had the records, they could have disclosed it to the complaint, disclosed them to the complainant, and still had a special meeting if they wanted to address questions or what have you. With respect to the, some of the records involved timesheets and salary information, daily job reports, and so perhaps they might be considered personnel records. The respondents didn't claim an exemption under 1-210B2, and there was no, and I asked at the hearing, there was no determination by the respondents that the records involved personally, you know, private information that would be protected under the Act. So there really was no reason to, under the, with respect to the Freedom of Information Act, to have a special board meeting to allow the employees to comment on the records. That actually could be considered more of an impediment. You remember the Connecticut Supreme Court has said disclosure is the presumption, and there shouldn't really be any. So I think if they had disclosed the records on when they became available on March 6th, perhaps they would have been prompt, but they waited another at least 3 weeks or so to have this meeting, which the complainant even said he felt was intimidated. He asked to review the records. So if he had, really what the Act provides, you can go to the office and review the records. They don't necessarily have to be immediately available. They did have to print the records out because of the way their computer system is set up, but he should have been allowed to go to the town hall and review the records, not at a board public meeting with everybody there and the employees' records. I mean, that's just not required under the Act. And so that's why I found that the response was not prompt. I understand that the complainant didn't go to review the records. That's one factor I did weigh, but I think at the end of the day, they had the records and they waited to have this public hearing or public meeting, excuse me, which I didn't find any justification under the Freedom of Information Act to have that hearing, meeting.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Yes.
Commissioner Streeter. So I mean, I'm sympathetic to the municipality dealing with you know, a small select board where just only two meet, they're already having a meeting. The flip side, and there is, you know, it's well documented that, you know, there was some give and take here that the town tried its best. I see this, even though there is a finding of promptness, that it's really it's almost caveat gentle. It's not like if you come back before us with another that we're going to hold this against you, like you're, say, the largest city in the town that is a regular customer here. To the hearing officer, I am sympathetic that, you know, sometimes in a small town, you just, you know, before you get, you can't just let people out of computers. And I know you mentioned that. And that, you know, other than being sympathetic, I think that, you know, this is a fair finding, and that, you know, this causes no real harm to the town of Heartland. So, but just so that, you know, as long as I'm on the commission, if Heartland is over here again, it's not something that we would, you know, really hold against you, that this is a, you know, a trend, and I assume you'll learn from this as well. And I appreciate you coming out and explaining your situation.
I just think the promise violation should be removed. I don't think that 3 week delay is that long of a delay, and because the town isn't here, I don't think we see this town here. I think they were acting in good faith. They were trying to do what was right. The gentleman isn't even here. Mr. Sevitz isn't even here. He hasn't even bothered to look at the records. There was no urgency to get these records. So I think that the promptness violation should be removed. That's my opinion.
May I respond to that?
Sure.
Thank you. One of the concerns, too, is that the delay in having to have these employees be able to respond, and there was, and then have a public meeting to have people voice it, it did appear very, or at least felt that way to the complainant that it was contentious. And so I just would be concerned about other cases where a town may be concerned about employees, even though they haven't raised the 1-210B2 exemption, they want to give the employees an opportunity to respond so they can look at this case and say, well, look, there was this case that they did it there and the commission didn't, you know. And also there was a delay leading up to that. So it's not just a 3-week delay. The delay, you know, the request went in January 19th, and the records were made available to the complainant March 29th at the special meeting. We were shortly after that, in April, there was an email that said the records are available. So I'm also concerned about that. So I just want to let you know that I think that. And I understand the point about the complainant, and that's why we included in the order a recommendation that he go get or review the records. And I think 3 weeks is a long time to continue this delay. That there was already a fair amount of delay, and I understand it's a small town, but just added on to that. So,
thank you. Any of the other commissioners?
Commissioner Farish, I'm a little bit torn because 3 weeks does not seem like that long of a delay, but I think I am troubled that the town felt the need to have a meeting with the complainant through that when the records were already available and he should have been able to just come in and see them. So I think I'm supporting the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins.
Commissioner Hankins.
I think since it's a small town, I don't think they get huge amounts of FOI requests, but I think this would have grabbed their attention, or should have. So I would support the hearing officer's decision in that regard too.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Fusashi. I'm inclined and will support. I don't know procedurally where we're going to go with this, but the hearing officer's both policy arguments and the legal points that she's made in terms of there was no legal argument under the Freedom of Information Act, which the town has made for the delays to have extra meetings. So I understand that they, you know, were a small staff. They had other issues, but on the basis of policy and legal articulation, I think the hearing officer has articulated a very good finding here. And point two is sensitive to the town, but nonetheless, the total finding balances policy and law, in my view, very well.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
No.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee? Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Gansman?
No.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, no. I think the yeses have it, right?
Yeah, I think it's 5-2-3.
Okay, so it passes. The hearing officer's report is adopted. So,
thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
So, go to the last one. Docket number FIC 2023-0202. Terry Stringer versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Insurance, et al. Would you please identify yourself for the record?
Terry Stringer.
Thank you.
Tony Caprone.
Thank you. So, Mr. Stringer, would you like to begin, please?
Yes. The finding of the hearing officer holds that we did not put our complaint in time. So the real history of that complaint is that we had made a request of the documentation to the respondent. They didn't respond all of December and January. They finally responded in February, and they began to give us documents. The gentleman, O'Sullivan, that sent us the documents, sent those documents because his administrator was out of town, but I couldn't open them. So he told me he would have him send me them later. In the meantime, I discovered I had an Apple computer I couldn't open Word documents, so my secretary was able to open them, but I waited on their dump to come to me. I sent him 97 files to be opened, and when he sent me back the information, there were a bunch of blank pages and duplicates, and they were not what I knew I had. But in that documentation, I saw some documents that were referred to that I didn't get that I needed for our claim. And that's where I reached out to the ombudsman, Blair. He told me my municipal complaint was not viable because it missed the timeline. However, I had already started receiving documents, so we were in the throes of getting information. But he instructed that I should file again, send a notice to them, and file again, and he would honor that. So I got to the hearing. I'm being told that I missed those dates because of that. Secondly, there were two files that the insurance commissioners had. When I filed for the file number of one, I was told by them we combined the two, and because it happened later, you can't ask for that information. So we're not able to really get headway because we're being told either we're too late or the files were combined. And the documentation we need relates to an insurance claim, which goes back to 2018. We're in the process of a legal breach of contract with Nationwide. And those documents are the initial documents that were filed in my initial complaint. They don't have those. And then the second document was the one in which there were some admissions made by the insurance company of wrongdoing, in my opinion, and that can't be found. And so I have documents that point to documents that are missing. So it wasn't like I wasn't getting help. They stopped complying and gave us some wrong information.
Thank you. Mr.
Cameron. Well, first of all, I would like to start with the fact that the decision relies solely on the timeliness of the filing. And I agree with the hearing officer that Mr. Stringer was not timely. Even the subsequent conversations that Mr. Stringer had with the department concerning his requests were made way before the 30 days in which he filed a complaint with the commissioner. So in that respect, I will support the hearing officer's recommendation. As an aside, as it concerns the merit of the complaint, we presented evidence at the hearing that Mr. Stringer has received multiple times. And Mr. Stringer had conversation with the department, with the with Mr. O'Sullivan, with the commissioner, with the deputy commissioner, with the counsel for the department on multiple occasions. And he has received all the information that the department has in its possession and has received all the documentation that the department has in its possession. The fact that Mr. Stringer is not satisfied and it believes for no reason that the department is holding up on information when we really bend ourselves backwards to make sure that all his concerns was addressed, I think should not be something that is considered by this commission here today when deciding if the hearing officer recommendation must be accepted.
Thank you. Attorney
Heiser. Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the record again, Kevin Munn, I was the hearing officer in this matter. Is there any specific questions that the commissioner said?
Any of the commissioners have any questions? No. Just in general. Can you address the complainant's issues with regard to the documents?
Just with respect to the, as was pointed out, the decision is just really based on the timeliness of the complaint.
It did come up at the hearing, and I did ask the complainant, which is a normal practice, if it appears that a complaint on his face is untimely, we always ask if there has, if there have been other communications between the date of the last communication we're aware of and the date of the complaint. And at the hearing, the complainant thought that there may have been, so I gave, I did give him an opportunity to submit documentation of further communications to try to show that the complaint was timely. So I issued one order, and the complainant did submit some further communications, but none of them resolved the issue. So I issued a second order just to give him another opportunity, just to make sure I was covering, you know, was not, I didn't want to dismiss, recommend a dismissal if there was something out there that I wasn't aware of. So gave him a second opportunity, and we didn't get anything back from that one. So at that point, there's really nothing we can do. The 30-day time limit is, you know, a jurisdictional limitation on the commission. So we unfortunately are not permitted by the statute to hear the merits of the
complaint. Sir, is there anything else you'd like
to say? Yes. That's not quite accurate. There was communications given in February. And again, I filed a complaint on the 14th, which answered the question. So I don't understand what they're asking for, because I was instructed by the ombudsman to file, and I did file. And he said, we can receive this, and we can process it and put it into hearing. And then when I get there, I'm told it wasn't done. I don't understand. If I'm being instructed by the department to do such a thing, and I have been getting cooperation, the question is, so then when they stop complying with the request of information, no complaint can be due. They've done it after 30 days. They would give me documentation for quite a period of time, but what I needed was not in there. You're telling me that the first document that I filed as a complaint, in which they requested the attorney Miller to give them documentation, I don't have that information. How did they not have that? That's the initial complaint. None of that's in my files. So how is it they don't have the initial complaint from the attorney to them requesting information from him? It's not in my files. And so the timeliness is relative to the fact of he did respond. I started filing, receiving information. Then when he sent me second information that wasn't completed, and when he stopped complying, I filed, as I was instructed, another complaint to ask for the further information. So I don't understand what the difference is here. Maybe you can explain it to me.
Attorney Munn, there's nothing that prohibits Mr. Stringer from filing again. It would cure the defect.
That's right. So any requester can, you know, submit a new request. So we have to submit a new request and then wait for either an express denial, or there's the deemed denial provision is if there's no response, no record, if there's not compliance within 4 business days. And then he would be able to file a new complaint with us. So he is free to submit another request and file a new complaint. But aside from it, as it stands today, the complaint was not filed within 30 days, so there's just really nothing we can do about it.
So you understand what I asked, Mr. Schreiber?
I get the logic, yeah.
You could file again.
Yes, sir.
You're not prohibited by this decision.
Okay.
Because it's just jurisdictional. We can't
okay.
Decide.
Very good.
Okay. Is there anything further from any of the other commissioners? All right. I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the hearing officer report.
Commissioner Einhorn, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Gansmer?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Members of the commissioner, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have a procedural question. On the previous docket, 2023-0067, which was, I think, a 5-3 vote, There was not a motion or a second before we conducted that.
Oh.
So I don't know if we should, if we need to remedy that, and because the chairman moved forward with the vote, taking the vote, and I, at the time there was no. So I don't know if we need to do that just as procedurally.
Good catch.
That would be good.
So if I, yes. I'll move that we bring that docket back up so that I can.
FIC 2023-0067, Mark Savitz versus First Selectman, Board of Selectmen, Town of Hartland.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, just to correct a procedural issue, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Einhorn, I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
No.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
No.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, no.
It's still 5-3.
Passes 5-3.
Thank you for that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you. Good catch. All right, so we have report on pending appeals.
There's been a few arguments. So I had an argument on October 5th. Is it October 5th? No, February 5th.
Sorry, February 5th.
A lot going on. February 5th in, at the appellate court in front of Judge Bright, Judge Suarez, and Judge Clark in the Greenwich case. And in the Greenwich case, you'll recall that the issue there was the requester wanted records from the next-gen system, and there are records that are kind of housed in the background that it would be like an audit trail of changes to an arrest warrant affidavit or a case incident report. And the in order to get those records out, you need a specialist, and the complainant went to the head, I guess it was the developer at NextGen, to ask him how these records could be obtained, and he wrote some scripts that if run would pull out these audit trails on records to show changes to documents, specifically the arrest warrant affidavit and the case incident report. And Greenwich refused to run the scripts. They came to the hearing in front of Attorney Ross and said, we don't have to run the scripts because anything we find would be exempt as a preliminary draft. And the hearing officer found that they failed to prove that, and on appeal, Greenwich appealed to the Superior Court, and the Superior Court found that the Commission's decision was wrong and reversed it, and we went up to the Appellate Court. The Appellate Court was very concerned about deciding exemptions about records that may or may not exist. I think we will get a remand. They were very hard on Greenwich because, you know, under the law as it stands, if you read 1-11 and 1-12 together, if you can either, you can either, when it comes to computer stored public records, if you can write the scripts yourself, you can charge the complainant for that if they're willing to pay you to write a program to pull out those records. And if you can't, you can hire an outside consultant to do that for you, as long as the requester is willing to foot the bill. So in the request that the complainant made, he said, I've got these scripts from NextGen, who's the person that supplies the records management system to Greenwich. If you're comfortable with the scripts, you know, you probably already paid for them, and you want to run them, that's fine. If you want to get an outside consultant, I'm glad to pay for it. So one of the questions from the court to Greenwich was, what's wrong with running the scripts? And then if there are records, letting the commission take a look at those records and determine if they think they're exempt. And if you disagree, let the trial court take a look. And if need be, we'll take a look, but at least we'll have a record of what there is. And they were very difficult on Greenwich. And I, you know, emphasize that we don't even know if the scripts are run. It looks like there could be changes to these records because one of the arrest warrant affidavits says, you know, 1 of 21, 2 of 19, 3 of 19. So there were two different sets of records that looked like there had been some changes. But I think we're going to get a remand with an order that they conduct the search and either inform us that they found nothing or
come back before us to take more evidence on whether those records are exempt or not. So I think it went really well. We don't want this to set a precedent that agencies can come in here and say, well, the records are attorney-client privileged, and the requester says, well, I disagree. And then the hearing officer says, well, let me get them in camera. And then the respondents say, well, we didn't look for them. We're not going to waste our time because we know that whatever we find, it's a really troubling precedent. And I think the court understands that, you know, we have an obligation to look at the records if the nature of the records isn't at issue, which it usually is. So I'm pretty sure we're gonna do pretty good with that case. I think if any questions, the commissioners have any questions. It was really fun too. It was a fun argument.
Very important principle.
Very important. So I think Kevin had an oral argument, and also Attorney High also had one.
Sorry,
Attorney Mann and Attorney High.
Thank you again. For the record, Kevin Mann, I argued. It's two consolidated appeals. They were argued together that involve identical records. These are two of, I believe, seven pending appeals we have in Superior Court involving the Bridgeport Police Department. And it's the factual background may sound familiar. So this was one of the Innocence Project's requested police records relating to their client's old case. This was a case from the late 80s. Bridgeport didn't give any records for, you know, many months until a couple days before the hearing. They provided basically a data dump of heavily redacted records, and then came to the hearing a couple days later and made the argument that, well, the complaint didn't say anything about exemptions, and so the commission, we turned over records, and the complaint was just that we didn't turn over records, and so the case should be dismissed because the commission doesn't have authority to address the issue of exemptions since that wasn't raised in the complaint. So it's an argument that they've been making last couple of years. There's an appellate court decision that Attorney McGee reported on, I believe, a couple of meetings ago, where the appellate court rejected that argument. So we were hoping that might put an end to it, but it did not. So we heard that argument again in Superior Court. So that's just as the background. This was the first time we've had Judge Budzik, who's in the administrative docket now, in a Bridgeport case. So it was interesting to see how receptive he was to the arguments that they made. He really took, in my view, was very practical about it. And some of the arguments that we had been pressing, that, you know, as we talked about earlier in the meeting, any requester can resubmit a request at any time. So even if Bridgeport's procedural defenses were successful, one of the arguments we have making is, you know, what's the point of going back and starting over again? Because the request can be made again. If they're not going to show over the records, another complaint can be filed, and they're going to be right back where we were. And Judge Budzik really kind of pushed on that argument and asked a couple times, well, aren't we going to just be back here in a year? If I agree with your argument, we're just going to be back here in another year. And they didn't really have much of a response to that. So I think we're not really convinced by their procedural arguments. So I felt pretty good about those. The only thing that he asked us questions on was Bridgeport had withheld certain records under the preliminary drafts exemption, which is 1-210B1. And the record, there was not really very specific evidence on it. It was kind of general testimony was, well, these are handwritten notes, and they appear to be the kind of things that a police officer might use to write a final police report. But it wasn't specifically tied to any specific report or any specific police officer. There was no testimony from anyone from the police department at all. And so really the judge just wanted to understand how the exemption worked in practice and what kind of evidence would be needed in order to satisfy that exemption in this kind of case. And so I tried as best I could to walk the judge through it, and I think he understood. I never like to predict how a case is going to turn out after argument, so I'm not going to, but I felt pretty good about the argument.
Good job. Any questions?
Thank you. Thank you both.
One more.
Attorney
High. Busy. Lots of arguments.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Attorney Zach Hyde for the record. I had a remote hearing on the merits on January 30th. This is a case where the complainant filed a complaint with us that the Darien Board of Education was going into an executive session for an improper purpose. And he came here and they had the hearing, and then we discovered that his complaint was not timely. It was not an unnoticed or secret meeting, and he filed his complaint 48 days after the meeting. At the meeting, it was an in-person meeting, and he tried to attend it through a YouTube link, and he was unable to get on. And so he's now arguing at the court that because he was unable to attend the virtual location of the meeting, this was somehow a secret meeting, so it didn't have to be filed within 30 days of the actual meeting taking place. And that's the argument that he made to the court. Judge Cohn was the judge of the matter, and he got very interested as to whether or not the YouTube link worked for all parties except for the complainant here, or whether it wasn't working at all. Our argument was that we don't have jurisdiction to address any of that because the complaint was not timely filed. So he has ordered us, the FOSC, to expand the record, to go to Darien and to ask them what they remember about this meeting that occurred 2 years ago and whether the YouTube link worked or didn't work, and then report back to the court. So we filed a motion for articulation to make sure that he was really asking us to go outside the record to gather new evidence. And then to provide that to the court to amend the record. And he gave his order saying yes, do that however you feel you should do that. I have reached out to the Darien Board of Education, and I'm waiting to hear back from them. We asked for an affidavit from them to see what they say. And then on Monday, on the holiday, the plaintiff filed a 6-page motion for articulation himself, where he's asking for all kinds of articulations from the court. And so I guess we're going to deal with that next. So that's sort of where this one stands. The hearing was a little frustrating. I didn't really, it went sort of sideways on me a little bit. One of the things that the plaintiff is asking for in his motion for articulation is whether or not he's going to get a chance to argue on the merits, because he didn't feel like he already had an opportunity to argue on the merits at the prior hearing. So it's, I'm sort of intrigued as to how that goes. So that's what I have for you. Any questions? Thank you.
Zach did a really good job. He did a great job at the hearing.
Yeah.
It was unusual.
Yeah.
Good enough.
All three. Thank you.
No new appeals.
No more arguments. We'll report on the next meeting.
Yeah. Coming up for argument. Okay, so that's it on pending appeals. Nothing on director's report right now. On staff reports, I want to introduce you all to Molly, who's right over there joining Jen as our other paralegal. Molly started Friday. She got the holiday and a snow day. So this is her second day with us. So we're showing her the ropes. And as I think I told everyone in an email earlier, we'll have a new attorney starting next Friday, too. So we're filling our positions, which is great.
Who's the new attorney?
We have Mary Kate back there, but we have Mary Beth joining us. Mary Beth Sullivan joining us. So I have on legislative report. A few things happening, but
I'm not sure how much we're up to. There are a couple of exemptions floating out there that we have to deal with, but I think the main one, and I don't think it happened at the last meeting, the governor's budget proposal doesn't change our budget, so that was good news.
chief on our budget.
I keep moving forward. I'm like, I don't know if I should sit or not.
Right.
But I guess Russell could report on his conversation today. So this is one of the proposals that we had heard about.
Yeah, so this was a, we got language and we met with an attorney for the Senate Republicans. There was a proposal that hasn't shown up in a bill yet about basically lists of municipal contact information. You know, anyone who signs up, the language was governmental services, which is very broad. I think what has happened is some of you may have seen there was a case in Greenwich where there was a list of people who have parking permits that's obviously available under FOI. Somebody FOI'd it. The town was a little resistant to releasing the information because it included names, addresses, emails, phone numbers of people who had municipal parking permits. There was some back and forth. They ultimately did release the list. But my understanding is that I think the first selectmen or some people in town had approached people in the legislature, you know, to look at this issue of, you know, not just parking permit lists, but all these different types of information that, you know, municipalities now have about constituents, whether it's an email contact list, dog license list, you know, the list kind of goes on and on. We had a meeting today with Senator Fazio, who was the one who had brought this forward. And, you know, we explained, you know, in our position that, you know, the first thing to do would be, instead of going to a new exemption, maybe have the towns think critically about, you know, all the information that they're taking in. Do they need to necessarily have, you know, all the emails and phone numbers for all these people? You know, rather than creating a new exemption, either, you know, tailoring the information that they're taking in or, you know, as done in some cases, you know, if it's concern about people not realizing the information is public, putting a disclaimer on there. You know, I even made the point that in the legislature, when you submit testimony, they have a disclaimer that says, you know, this is a public record. If you put your name and address and phone number on legislative testimony, you know, it becomes a public record. So, you know, we came away from the meeting, you know, thinking that I don't expect this is going to advance much further, but it is an issue I'm hearing from cities and towns. Just in this new digital age, there's all this information that they collect from constituents, and I think people don't always realize that when you put your name on a form and give it to a town hall, you know, now it becomes a public record under FOIA. So, you know, I don't expect anything big this year on that, but it's just something to, I think, keep an eye out on.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess like the Police Chiefs Association, they have reached out to us. So the body cam bill that that was proposed last year but ended up dying on the Senate floor, they want to bring that back. There's some conversations also with the ACLU to see what their position is on that. So so I think it's probably going to, at least most of it, at least with the body cam, probably the provisions mostly the same as what we proposed last year. It's potentially one of the biggest provisions that may change is that for anyone, if the requester is someone who's involved in the video or in their home, they can get it for free. So they don't have to pay for redactions. So right now they would have to pay some, but hopefully we could get that changed. Let's see. I don't know how to explain the, yep.
Mr. Chairman, I had a question. Commissioner Farrell.
Sure.
Has the proposed exemption for academic research come back this year before the legislature?
Not in the past, since this started last week. So within, we haven't.
Watching for it.
Yeah, we're watching for that. The body cam one we knew it was going to come up. We've heard that the university one would come up again, but so far, it would probably come out of the Government Administration Elections Committee, and they don't have many bills come out as of yesterday. I have to take a look at today's bills, but there's only been a couple out of that committee so far.
Thank you.
Can we continue?
That's good for now. A few other proposals that are proposing some exemptions, but we'll wait on those and see.
It's a short session, so things will move a little faster than usual. So
are moving.
Anticipate the public hearing starting up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, this week, I think.
You might see both of us up more often because we're doing a tag team situation. So any other questions? No? Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Okay, I think that's that's all we have today. New business, no new business.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Schroeder, I move adjourn.
Commissioner Einhorn, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. People will call those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Gansman?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, all needed, yes. We're adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Enjoy your Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Questions on the phone?